Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you again at our family Bible hour. Turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. Well-known story, one that has a vivid action and outstanding characters in it. So, 2 Kings chapter 5, we'll read verses 1 to 14. Or verse 16. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. And she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel." Then the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, "Now be advised when this letter comes to you that I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy." And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter, that he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me." So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me. He shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became furious and went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more than when he says to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him and said, "Indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now, therefore, please take a gift from your servant." But he said, "As the Lord lives before whom I stand, I will receive nothing." And he urged him to take it, but he refused. You know, the Lord adds a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's look to the Lord just for a moment for his blessing. Father, we have read this account in your presence, and we would pray, Lord, that you would take us back 3,000 years to that time period when you healed a leper. And Father, we would pray that you would give us some lessons today. We might learn something of what we are and what you are. And that, Father, we may see the great salvation that there is in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God. And that by simply believing your word, the great problem of leprosy, of sin, can be cleansed. We thank you that you are the one who cleanses whiter than snow. Though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So, Father, we would ask your help today for us to understand the lessons drawn from this familiar story. And we would ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. There are three main characters. There's a great man, and there's a little girl, and there's a prophet. It's amazing that two kings are mentioned, King of Israel, King of Syria, but they're not mentioned by name. We have this great man, Naaman. His name means pleasant. So if we take that as a perhaps an indication of his character, his personality, he was a very pleasant personality. That goes a lot in the world, in making friends, does it not? To have a pleasant personality. But he was much, much, much more. He was a great man. It says that he was a commander of the army of the king of Syria. You don't get that kind of confidence unless you have performed in the past. A commander, you work your way up in the services of a king's army. And he had great confidence in the king. It says that he was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master. And the reason for that, or part of the reason for that at least, was because the Lord had given victory to Syria, had delivered Syria from some serious war or some serious threat. It's interesting that it says the Lord had done this. The Lord had been working in the life of this man, Naaman. Now we're going to see that this man had a great desire and he had faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Impossible. It was this man's faith, Naaman's faith, was a faith that was searching out for something. We read in Luke, Gospel, concerning this event. It's mentioned in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, and verse 27. It said there were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, but none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. That's an amazing statement here. That there were all kinds of lepers in Israel at the time, but God calls a man all the way from Syria to be cleansed. That's an astounding statement. Why? Because Naaman was searching. Naaman's heart was looking for something more. He had everything. He had the confidence of his king. He had performed greatly in battle, and it was the Lord that was doing this. It was by the Lord. Now, whether he understood that or not, I don't know. But it was the Lord that had raised him up to this status. Not only that, it says that he was a mighty man. He was also a mighty man of valor. The word there is not only courage, but the word talks about riches. He was a man of substance. So he was a very wealthy man, had the confidence of the kingdom of Syria, one of the most powerful nations on the earth at that time. And so there was, sky was the limit for Naaman. He had everything. But then we have that word, well. But he was a leper. Now we know from scripture that leprosy is a picture of sin. It's a disease that works from the inside and manifests itself in various ways to the outside. And it becomes a loathsome and very contagious disease. And it's one that would isolate a person from society. So here you have this man that has everything in the world, but yet is now isolated from it. It's a strange dichotomy. It's a strange thing that would happen to a person. Then we're introduced to the second personage, a little girl. The Syrians had gone out raiding, testing, no doubt, the defenses of Israel on the borders and stealing cattle or whatever goods they could. And they brought back a little captive girl, torn from her family. We don't know the fate of her family. We know nothing about her. We don't even know her name. But here's the contrast. This great man with everything in the eyes of the world now would be delivered by this nameless little girl, slave girl. It's quite a contrast that the scriptures paint for us. She happened to be, whether she was purchased or whether she was taken captive by Naaman, she was serving her or his wife. And her mistress. Think for a moment, a 9 or 10 year old, as most commentators think, about 9 or 10 years old, not even into puberty. And think of her faith, because these two faiths, the faith of Naaman, which is unnamed and he doesn't know where to satisfy that faith, that drawing. And then we see this powerful faith of this little girl. She said to her mistress one day, and I think it's a testament to the character and the personality of Naaman, that the little girl would be concerned about her master. He must have been a kind, compassionate man in some ways, for her to be concerned about him. She says to her mistress one day, oh, if only my master was with the prophet in Samaria, he would heal him. He would clean him of his disease. Because it must have been a terrible thing in the household as that was being discussed. Naaman, with everything that this world has to offer, but with this disease that separated from his enjoyment of it. And the little girl ministry could see this story, what was unfolding. If only he was in Samaria where the prophet is. Think of that. Not only it was a faith that was based in truth, because she knew about the prophet Elisha in Samaria. Now, he had never, as far as she knew, had never healed, as far as we know, never healed a leper. So how would she know that he could heal a leper? Well, she had heard about his miracles, other miracles that he had taken place. And she believed it wasn't just the prophet, it was the God of the prophet. You see, in her faith, God could do anything. Amen. And so God's prophet, God working through his prophet, could do anything. And so the little girl, believing that, that's her faith, said if he were with this prophet in Samaria, he would clean you, he would heal him. See, God is pleased with faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's a lovely picture of this little girl. She doesn't ask for anything for herself. It's a selfless evangelist that seeks the welfare of the other. And that little girl, her testimony in the house of her master, shook kingdoms. It goes right to the very top of two kingdoms. Think of it. A little slave girl's testimony goes to the palaces of two kingdoms. We have a few words that she says. If only my master were with the prophet of God. Well, what happens? Naaman goes, or as some think, perhaps it was some other servant, but regardless, the message comes to the king of Syria. And the king of Syria says, go there to Samaria there. And I will send a letter, says the king, to the king of Israel. And he took with him, he says, in verse 5, 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, 10 changes of clothing. Now, this clothing wasn't just ordinary clothing for every day. These were ceremonial robes, 10, very, very, for high state occasions, you would wear these ceremonial robes. And then the silver and gold was a considerable amount. And it came from the king and from Naaman. They were very wealthy. There was no resources that they could put their hands on. They thought that this would be a payment for the prophet, because normally these type of healers in those countries, they required a lot of money in order to perform these healings if they could. So they make the trip. Naaman is in his chariot with a great retinue, no doubt. I was thinking also of the fact that because Israel and Syria were enemies at the time, for the captain of the hosts of Syria to come into the enemy's territory, he would need adequate protection And so it must have been a sizable host of people that came with Naaman. It was a great procession. And they come. Now, the thinking, of course, was that if the prophet could heal leprosy or perform miracles, where would you look for him? You'd look for him in the house of the king, of course. The king would be part of his retinue, his group. And so he comes to the king of Israel, presents the letter. The king of Israel, he's not named, which is probably Jehoram. He reads the letter. What does he get out of it? He says, "Now be advised when this letter comes to you that I've sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy." Whether that's a fragment of a letter or there's more to it, we don't know. But at least whoever presented this to the king of Israel, they would be able to explain further their reasons for coming. When the king of Israel read the letter, there was no, his whole understanding of the situation was not a spiritual understanding, nor was it a compassionate reading of that letter. It was a political and power assessment. What would it mean to his power? What would it mean between the relationship between the kings that they were always talking about, he and his people? What did he say? He tore his clothes and said, "Am I God? That this man that I'm going to heal, he's looking for a way to have a quarrel, to pick a fight with me." That's what he's doing, because he knows, like, I can't. I'm not God. I can't heal. But when Elisha hears that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that was a serious thing. He sent a message to the king saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Please, let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." A prophet is a man who speaks for God, the spokesman of God on earth. He will know that God is speaking through a man on earth. So Naaman comes then to the door of the prophet. He's got his chariot. He gets down off his chariot and they knock on the door and explain why they're there. And the servant goes back into the house, speaks to Elisha, and Elisha says, tell Naaman to go wash in the Jordan River 7 times and he'll be healed. Very simple, isn't it? Not very complicated. So he comes out and tells Naaman what the prophet said. Naaman was expecting that the prophet would come out and with a great flourish and ceremony, as some of these fake healers give, it's all in the show, wave his hand over the spot and he'd be healed. Now, just a simple word conveyed by the servant of the prophet. It really speaks about evangelism, doesn't it? God's word through the evangelist. God's prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ, has spoken, and we speak his words, or the words of the Holy Spirit. That's really the of an evangelist. So the servant that came out was merely repeating what the prophet had said, what God's word was through the prophet Elisha. Now, there was a problem. Pride. Pride was a real problem. He had an awakening faith because he made the journey. He'd come a long way in threatening circumstances. And he'd come now to this house of the prophet. But now there's the pride. You see, he had everything, and he clung to that. He was a great man. And he wanted to be regarded as a great man. Leprosy was just the symptoms, the outward symptoms of a greater problem, pride in the heart. You know, isn't that mankind? We'd rather pay a great price. He brought a lot of funds, got in a lot of trouble getting those ceremonial garments and transporting them there. And he expected to give it all, and perhaps more if necessary. He wanted to command great respect for the prophet to come out personally. He didn't get that. He made a great show of spreading his hand over the swamp. And then he says, the Jordan River, that when they crossed the Jordan River to come there, they could look down and they could see this. If he'd never seen it before, he saw it then. It's kind of a turbid river. In other words, it's a kind of a muddy looking river, really. It's not very sparkling clean. A lot of silt washes down from those marshes in the north. He said the rivers in Syria, Damascus, the ones that come down off the great mountain from the snows, the water is cool and clear, runs over rocks and doesn't follow muddy banks. There's better rivers there. But the word was to wash in the Jordan. He was in a rage. That pride enraged the man that he would have to bow down and do a thing which he did not want to do. Pride was a real problem. Leprosy was just the outward show, the symptoms. But it was the pride. So his servants said to him, well, if he'd asked you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? I would like to speak to this servant that said this in such a way that it caught the mind of Naaman. If he'd asked you to do a great thing, and he would have, but this is a very simple thing. It's like the gospel is a very simple thing. It's based upon what? A simple message of command. Go and wash 7 times in the Jordan and you'll be clean. Very simple. He said, if he'd asked you to do some great things, you would have done it. But this is simple. Why aren't you doing it? You're here. Do it now. And that's really the gospel of the grace of God. It's believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It's a simple thing. It's not complicated. If it was complicated, the little girl in Damascus would never have grasped it. But she got it. It's simply to believe the God of the prophets. And the great prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ, has come to earth and given us the word. It's come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. As many as received him, to them he gave power or authority to be called children of God. It's so simple. But it requires no effort on your part. There's nothing good you can do. You can't pay a price for it. You can't make yourself better. There was no way that Naaman could heal himself of that leprosy. He knew that.
but it was to
bow down to the word of God and dip himself seven times in the Jordan River. He considered it. He went down to the river and he dipped himself, came up. Leprosy still there. Seven times, sir, the servant might say, down the second time. And up, no change. Three, four, five, six times. He comes up out of the water and there's absolutely no change at all. One more time, sir. Down he goes. He comes up. His flesh is like the flesh of a little child. He is completely cleansed. That's the gospel. Seven times. You don't have to believe seven times. You just have to believe once the word of God. Seven is the perfect number. You have to believe once is a perfect number as well. Now he wanted to reward the prophet. But what the prophet said, I only gave the word of God. I didn't, it was nothing from me. I will take nothing from you. I don't need anything. The salvation of God is impossible to buy, to purchase, impossible to earn. It can only be received by faith. And once you do, you give praise and thanksgiving to God. And later we read that he did. He became a true believer. Now I know that there is no other God in all the earth except in Israel. He became a true believer. There was no other lepers in Israel cleansed except Naaman the Syrian, the Gentile from without, the great man who had to become small. And he was cleansed of his leprosy. You today, there's only one thing that's hindering. You're receiving the gospel of the grace of God and be cleansed from a disease far worse than leprosy, which is the disease of sin. There's only one thing hindering you, and that's pride. You know, religion only fosters pride. I am a religious person. I do this, this, and this. Therefore, I think I can approve myself to God. But the message from God's prophet is very simple. Believe and receive, and you'll be saved. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for the message, how simple it is. And that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Faith in the finished work of Calvary is all that a sinner needs to be cleansed and fit for heaven. We pray that there might be someone today, Lord, that might receive this offer of mercy and grace freely. We ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.